So y'all know with me, you get to be some gymnast regardless of your age, your weight, or your flexibility. Now listen, we're going to flip over to the book of Joshua, and we're going to land a perfect 10 on chapter number 1, verse number 1. Amen. Joshua, chapter number 1, starting at verse number 1. If you can indulge me, but honor the Lord, if you can stand for the reading of God's holy word, amen. Here begins the reading of God's word. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land, which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Amen. And as we've been constantly or currently still in this current sermon series, we've been talking about word world, and we understand the foundation of this particular sermon series has come from the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3, where it's been talking about through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And so we've been consistently talking about how the worlds are the different spheres that we move and operate in, moving out of, in order for us to have success, and in order for these worlds to remain framed, held together, it must be by the word of God. The word of God must be on display. Not only must it be on display, but the word of God must be demonstrated through how we govern and govern ourselves and live according to the word of God. Amen. So keeping the word of God as a constant standstill in our lives, our daily lives, as we talk about our word world. Amen. And so today we find ourselves in the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. And our focus, I read verses 1 through 8, but our focus is going to be on 7 and 8. But for contextual purposes, I read 1 through 8. And I'm going to try to lay some foundation. And then my wife is going to begin to just speak about what the Lord has given her. Amen. So we understand, as we're here in the book of Joshua, a book that is titled after Joshua, one of the main characters that we find in this particular book, but we don't know who the author is per se. So given that the author is anonymous, we understand that the author has focused a lot on the life of Joshua. And when we open up this particular chapter, we see how the Lord begins to speak to Joshua. He starts off by talking about now after the death of Moses, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. And I thought that was something very, very interesting, that's something that was very, very key, the fact that Joshua is known to be Moses' minister, right? And so even as God begins to open up this chapter, he talks about the death of Moses, right? Moses has died. Now things must transfer over to Joshua. You are now going to become the leader of this nation called Israel. And so what is taking place, the battles that these particular people, the Israelites, were actually endure as they move to conquer the Canaan or the land of Canaan, these battles that they will be a part of are going to actually be the battles of the Lord. The Lord is going to defeat all of their enemies as they move to conquer this land that God said will be the promised land. That God said, this is the land that he's given to the nation of Israel or the people of Israel to thrive in, so that the promises of the Lord may be made manifest in their lives. And so we see how God begins to tell him how Moses is dead. They don't even have an opportunity really to mourn Moses, right? We got to just get, and we're just thrust into what God is saying we're supposed to do. You got to get up and you got to now move in this position that Moses was operating in. This is now becomes the position that Joshua himself will begin to move and operate in. And the fact that he is Moses' minister speaks to the level of honor that was in the life of one Moses, right? To have a man who was dedicated to him to not only just serve him, but also be a soldier in the army on the flip side, to do the spiritual side, but also to do some natural things. And just, it speaks to the level of honor that was upon the life of Moses, that this man was willing to embrace this title, walk it out by being the minister of Moses, a servant, an adjutant of Moses, an armor bearer, if you want to call it that, of Moses, where if Moses had knees, this man would tend to the knees of Moses. Not only that, but you would see that this man, he would come and he would lay and he would pray with Moses. He would worship with Moses. So it wasn't so much about just taking care of the natural, tangible things, but when it came to the spiritual things, he learned. He was there watching how Moses led, how Moses gave directives and instructions and direction, all of these things to this nation of people, how Moses led the other elders, how they would help bring about giving instruction to the nation and dealing with different issues that might arise inside the nation with the people that think Moses would do these things, and Joshua had a firsthand view at all of these things. So it was only fitting that he would take up the mantle now that Moses has passed. And so what we find as we press through the scripture, we're now seeing how the Lord is now speaking to Joshua and telling him what's supposed to take place and how he's going to be with them and all of these different things, right? And one of the things that I found interesting is, as I continue to try to lay a little bit of foundation, right, we see in this particular verse number one, that it talks about how Joshua, the son of Nun, and he's Moses's minister, right? And so when you think about his father, the son of Nun, right? We understand the name Nun speaks to posterity, right? But it also speaks to perpetuity, right? And when you think about what these particular words actually mean, when you talk about posterity, the name Nun is actually defined as speaking to, in the Hebrew, posterity, or speaking to perpetuity, right? And when you think about posterity, it is talking about the descendants, right? Or the generations that will come after Joshua. And then when you speak to the perpetuity, right, it is talking about having continued, uninterrupted existence for an indefinite period of time, right? And so when you think about this, Joshua, his name means Jehovah is salvation, or the Lord saves. And so when you think about what I'm saying, as we dive into the story of Joshua and looking at by him being the son of Nun and what their names mean, simply put, we're simply saying everyone and everything that is attached or connected to you, right? It will continue to have uninterrupted existence for an indefinite period of time. So simply put, all I'm saying, everyone and everything will continue to increase or thrive. So everything that's connected to me, everyone that's connected to me, it is going to continue to thrive. This is what God was speaking to Joshua now as he becomes the leader. And so I'm saying for us, we understand everything that is connected to us, everyone that is connected to us, it is going to continue to thrive. Have good success. Amen. And so as I pass this over to my wife, she's going to begin to speak in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Lincoln, for laying such an awesome foundation. Praise Amen. God. Amen. So we get into the focus scriptures, verses 7, starting with verse 7. It says, only to be thou strong and very courageous. I mean, just to take a moment to just reflect about what Pastor Lincoln has spoken about Joshua. You know, Moses has died. He was the mentor, you know, to Joshua. Joshua was the minister. He was serving. He was doing for, seeing the things, all the things that God was having Moses to do, all the commandments, you know, all the decrees, you know, all the words that he had to go out and speak and say, you know, speak, you know, Moses, and speak to my people, you know. And Joshua, you know, was ministering, you know, underneath Moses, you know, seeing the things that Moses was going through, the things he had to do, the level of obedience, you know, that God was calling him to, you know, and he was learning, you know. And to be in a place under someone, sometimes, you know, we think of ministers sometimes as somebody that's in training, you know, when people, before they become a minister, you know, within our ministry, they're ministers in training because they are being trained, they're being taught, you know, how to minister, you know, to God's people, how to minister the word of God, how to serve and have servitude, you know, have a lifestyle of holiness, a salvation of, you know, of Christianhood, you know. And just imagine how Joshua was. First of all, definitely he was all, you know, obviously devastated, because the person that you're following it's no longer existing, no longer here, you know. Right. The person you're serving, you know, on a regular basis that, you know, you're following, you're watching, you're seeing God move in his life, you're seeing the thing that God is having him do, and he's no more. You know, not just he's no more, God saying it's time for you to step up, you know, and that's a difficult place because, you know, I've been a minister and I've been told to do certain things. And then that flip between minister to elder or being over a ministry or being over auxiliary, you know, being called to lead. Not all the time you feel like you're there because you feel like you're going through the processes. You feel like you're trying to get yourself together. You're learning, you're being groomed, you're being developed, you know. And definitely there's times you'll look at your pastor or your, you know, the minister or the elder in your life, and you're like, I can't do that. I mean, I can't believe, I don't even understand how they were able to do that. I couldn't have done that. I couldn't have dealt with that. I couldn't have dealt with those people. I couldn't have said that, you know, dealing with those difficult situations. But, you know, Joshua was in a very vulnerable place because just like Pastor Lincoln said, he was a minister naturally as well as spiritually, but also, you know, he was the one that was in battle, you know, to be able to flip flop, you know, to do all those things, you know, it's okay to do it, you know, momentarily, to serve momentarily, you know, only do things when you're called or when you're asked to do, but to be the number one, you know, number one between you and God, that God says, you know, I got you on my direct line. Let's do this. And it's like, I for sure can see, you know, the reflection of Joshua being fearful. And the Bible says, only be thou strong and be and very courageous. Mike, pull up the definition for only. Only says, the definition for only is no one or nothing more besides solely or exclusively. So the Lord said, only be thou strong and very courageous. And just imagine in the midst of loss and mourning and fear and fright, and God is saying, only be. There is no other excuse, or there's no other gateway. There's no other explanation. There's no other avenue. There's no other choice. You know, God is saying you only have to be strong, you know, and be very courageous. Put that definition up for B, because a lot of times we don't realize, you know, how strong we really are. You know, God doesn't have you ministering, you know, for nothing. God doesn't have you being a minister for naught. God does not have you following these great Moseses in your life, you know, just because you're nothing, just because, you know, you're weak, just because you're inadequate, you're insecure. We don't always know, you know, where we are and who we are, you know, and that's why we follow. The definition for B, it says exist, occur, take place. So God is saying, you know, only be. God just wants you to exist, to take your place in who you should be as a woman of God, as a man of God, as a servant, as a minister, as a pastor, as an elder. God just wants you to exist and just to be in the place of where he wants you to be. Don't think of the insecurities and the doubts and the fears, because God is saying only exist. You know, that is the only soul thing that he wants you to be. And he said, and be very courageous. Put the definition of courageous up for me, Mike, because this is important. You know, he says, be alert mentally. You know, in another scripture, I think the other one about fear. And the other scripture was talking about fear. You know, you have to be alert and aware, you know, and be solely, you know, with the mindset that I can do this. And sometimes, you know, us as believers, we don't feel like we can do certain things. We don't feel like we can be at a place to lead, from following to leading, you know, but a lot of times we don't always understand or know the day-to-day, you know, activities that God's going to have us do. We know that we're called for a purpose and a will. We know that we have direction. We know that there are certain gifts and talent that God has given us all, but we don't always know every single thing that's going to occur in our life. And we should be at a place where we should be at alertness and awareness, and we should be solely understanding who we are, you know, and that's a hard place in the midst of mourning, in the midst of loss, to say, okay, you know, they're no longer here, but here am I. And God is saying to a lot of us, where are you? You know, you have to overcome. Being courageous means that you are overcoming your fears. You are facing your fears right head on and saying, okay, I'm going to press past it. And a lot of times we don't always have the ability mentally to say, okay, I can do some things. That's why we have people to encourage us. That's why we have, you know, people to enlighten us. That's why we speak the word of God out of our mouth, making declarations all the time, because there are many things that we are fearful of. But we cannot allow fear to hold us. We cannot allow the fear of the thought of our inability, or the thought of our failure, or the feeling like, okay, well, we're not going to be able to meet at a certain expectation. I'm not going to be able to be like Moses. You have to be who you are. You just have to only be. You have to only be, and you have to be courageous. You have to be strong, because you have to be able to be at a place where you can see and observe the things that God wants to do in your life. And if you're always running and hiding and feeling like, I got to be in the background, you know, I'm not at a place where I need to be, you know, I'm following someone and they're no longer in that position, and now, God, you're calling me. It's not a time for excuses. It's not a time to run and hide. It's not a time to be fearful. It's time to be strong and courageous, and to only be, to exist in the place where God has been preparing you. Because we feel like, okay, we overlook the things that God is getting us in place. God is getting us in line. God is preparing us. He's not just leaving us out there. You know, for sure, God has the faith to know that what he's already placed in us. And for sure, God can feel like at any given moment, he can just throw us out there. But it's us as fleshly beings, as being carnal beings with this carnal mindset that fights us, fights us on the inside. You know, like Pastor Lincoln said, he was spiritual and natural, a warrior, you know, a server, one that was praying with Moses, assisting Moses, seeing everything that he had done. He was learning and growing. And now the time is now to step up. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of us, it's a time for us to just step up, to be who God called us to be. But don't await for things to be deadened in our lives, to see things die in our life in order for us to step up. Allow what God is doing in us now, God preparing us now, he's teaching us now, he's undergirding us now, he's showing us how to pray, he's showing us how to get in the word, he's telling you got to live right, you got to forgive, you got to let things go, you can't be in anger, you can't be anger, you can't be lazy, you cannot be bitter, you know, you got to be loving, you got to forgive, and you got to pray, you got to get in your word. Because God is preparing us. He said, for thou observe to do according to all the law. The law is everything that God has already declared. The law is something that's not ever going to change. You know, God is God all by himself, you know. And it's like, if you think of like a list of all the things that God is, a list of all the things God's going to say that is going to occur in your life. Those things not going to change because I'm not where I need to be, or emotionally, or I'm going through some things right now. It is what it is. And, you know, God wants us to be at a place where we can be strong and courageous and be not fearful, so that all the things that God has already has observed in our lives and wrote that list, he wants us to be able to see it. He wants us to be able to receive it. He wants us to be able to have it in the grass. You know, Moses got to the blessing and died. He did all the things that Moses had did, all the commandments that God had gave Moses. Moses one time was like, I don't think I'm going to do it that way. God got him to the place and said, this is where you were supposed to get all your blessings. I want you to see it. And God killed him. You don't want to be at a place where you done everything God said. You done said everything God told you to say. You done been everywhere where God told you to be. Moses had a speech impediment, issues with his speech, you know. And he was like, I don't want to be talking to these people. These people don't want God. They said, send us a representative. So God said, hey, it's Moses, you know, and it's like, you don't want to be that person that God puts in place to go through all these things and you never, ever receive the blessing. You see it, but you don't get it. You don't grasp it. You don't get to walk it out. You don't get to live it out. You don't get to bask in it. You don't get to lay in it. I mean, like, and here comes Joshua and he's like, whoa, This is too much, you know? And definitely for any average human being, it's like, how can I do this? Seeing what somebody has already done, all the things that this person already, how great this person was. And it's like to see where, how far he got and stop, you know, God, where am I going to be? But we cannot be at that place where we are contemplating those things, because we have to know, God, we cannot be disshuffled. We cannot be tossed. We cannot, you know, be mediocre, you know, back and forth. You know, the Bible says, you know, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand. Like, you can't be finicky. You can't be fickle. One day you're doing this, the next day you're doing that. Today you want to pray. Tomorrow you don't even want to be saved. Tomorrow, you know, the call of God. You know, next week you're mad. You know, you can't be right, like that, right? Because God wants you to prosper. And then we wonder why there are so many things in our life that God has called us to that we haven't necessarily obtained, because our level of consistency is not there. Our level of obedience is not there. You know, we're finicky, we're wishy-washy, we're fearful, we're doubtful, you know. And it's like, when God's telling us to go, we don't want to. We're too fearful. And God does not want us to be fearful, you know, as believers, as Christians. You know, God wants us to have what he has called us to have. But you have to understand, there is a process. You have to endure some things. You have to deal with things. You have to deal with difficult situations. You have to pray. You have to be in your word. You have to live a lifestyle called by God. You have to obey the voice of God. You know, you have to, you know, go where God is sending you. You cannot doubt those things. You cannot, you know, overlook those things. You cannot just be at a place where you're always following. Sometimes God wants you to leave, you know, and I've always, you know, struggled at times, you know, with following and leading. You know, some people are just followers, you know. You know, just like the Bible says, you know, you can follow behind the things of God, but sometimes there'll come a time you can't always wait for your sister or your brother or your cousin or your husband or your wife. Sometimes you just got to be who God called you to be. You know, you have to say the thing that God has called you to say. And so sometimes it's a lonely place, because it was two, then it became one.
Amen. So kind of got ahead of ourselves here. We're dealing with the excitement of speaking together. So let's pause for the cause and tell you what the sermon title is. Oh. Listen, this thing is actually called Only Be. Amen. The title of today's message is called Only Be. Only Be, Only Be, Only Be. And for some of you, like the woman of God was saying, you just got to only be courageous, you know, and you got to only be strong. According to what now has transpired and where Joshua now is coming upon the scene, where he's now going to be the leader of this great people that God is calling, and for all the phenomenal things that will be on display through this particular nation. Listen, we understand that's a pressure at times. When you think about it, what God is saying he's supposed to do, and the things that he's already seen prior to in the life of Moses, and how God has kept them throughout the wilderness journey for over 40 years. And the Bible talks about how none of their clothes and none of their shoes never expired, and things of that nature, right? There's, though some of the people might have expired, but their garments never expired. So it's true, and it proved the keeping power of God, how God was able to keep them, you know, as they journeyed through the wilderness for over 40 years. And so now you got Joshua now stepping on the scene, taking the place of Moses, right? And so again, even as we start in verse number 7, it says, only be thou strong, right? Only be thou strong. And when you look at this understanding in the Hebraic context, it's simply talking about to prevail. You got to have a mindset that says, God, I'm going to prevail. No matter what I'm challenged with, no matter what I'm faced with, no matter what is placed before me, no matter who comes before me, it doesn't matter what enemy steps in front of me, or who decides that they're going to challenge me, or the challenge itself, or the situation, or the scenario. It does not matter the challenge. My mind is already made up that I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to prevail, because God is the one that is speaking directly to Joshua, and he's telling him, I'm going to be with you. Matter of fact, he says, I will not fail you. So when you think about only be thou strong, it is talking about prevail, to prevail, having a mindset that I will prevail no matter what comes before me, no matter what comes to try to stop, block, or hinder my purpose or destiny. No, I am going to prevail. My mind is already made up. Now, this thing might try to delay me, but it is not going to deny me. I shall prevail. prevail. Then we look at definition number two. When you're talking about only be thou strong, it talks about to strengthen oneself to seize, right? So because I have the mindset that I'm going to prevail, my mind is already pressing on toward the next thing. Is I am going to be strengthened. No matter how you try to bring fear about in my life, I'm going to be strengthened. I'm going to be encouraged to believe that I am going to seize the very thing that God says I'm supposed to seize, or the very thing that God said I'm supposed to have. In this case, we understand it is the land that God has been specifically talking about. Listen, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to fail you. Those that come up against you, listen, they're not going to just be in war with you, but they're going to be in war with the true and living God, the only true and living God. Your battles are now going to become my battles, says the Lord. And so understand, because I'm going to be victorious, I'm going to claim this victory and let the victory actually be yours, so that when I go and fight your battles and win and conquer this land, you can now seize the promise that I spoke to you, right? So now you will have this promise. So it says, only be thou strong and very courageous, right? And when you talk about this courageous in the Hebrew, it is talking about to be alert mentally, right? You can't allow yourself to fall off in your mindset. And that's where many of the battles are lost, right there in the mind. Before you actually get to the literal or physical battle, guess what? Some of y'all enemies have already talked you or have already defeated you based upon the conversation that was had, based upon the words that they've spoken to you, based upon the images that are now derived from the words that you heard, right? We understand there are times that the enemy speaks to us, right? That's what they tell us, the mind. This is the battleground right here. Some of the things that the enemy speaks to us and some of the images that the enemy shows us right here, we have already lost the battle before we actually get to the literal physical battle. But he's saying, no, you have got to be courageous. You got to allow yourself to be alert mentally, right? You know the enemy's got certain tactics that he's going to try to use, right? Whether it be things that he speaks to you or whether it be things that he shows you. Stay alert mentally. Don't fall for the okey-doke. Don't allow yourself to be deceived. Don't allow yourself to be pulled in or taken by fear where the enemy comes to try to bring or speak things that will try to bring fear to your life. No, he's saying you have got to be courageous, right? So he says, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe, right? And when you talk about this observe in the Hebrew, it's talking about to keep. What is he talking about to observe? Observe to do according to all that the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, right? And so understanding the law, the first five books, the Pentateuch, this word that God gave to Moses, right? Or even if you get a little bit more detail, talking about the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, right? This law, right? And understand law is interpreted in the Hebrew as instructions. So these instructions that the man of God has given you to govern yourselves once you get into the promised land, observe. You've got to observe. Make your mind up that you're going to keep this law, that you're going to give heed. In other words, pay attention to the law, right? This is instructions that I've given you on how to govern your lives and how to be in relationship with me, the true and living God. This is what the law was given for, to be in relationship with me, and how to govern yourselves based upon the promise that I've given you, how not to forfeit the promise after I give it to you. Do you know somebody? Can you relate? Well, God, we understand he's not an Indian giver, but you can forfeit the very thing that God has said he wants to bless you with because of your inability to handle the thing in the manner that God says you're supposed to handle it. There's a certain way that we're supposed to handle the things of God, the sacred things of God, knowing that these things are holy, knowing that these things have been sanctified, pulled apart, separated from all the other things. They must be handled a certain way, just like our lives must be lived a certain way. That's why God says to be holy, for I am holy, right? You're supposed to live separately in a separate manner, meaning a consecrated life from how everybody else is living. Those that consider themselves to be a part of the world, right? So he's saying that you may observe us to do according to all that the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. He says, turn, right? Turn, you know, not from it to the right hand nor to the left. In other words, don't you go in a different direction. The path that I got you set upon, don't you go in a different direction. Don't you alter what I'm telling you to do by allowing yourself to become distracted, allowing yourself to be deceived, allowing yourself to become fearful because of who you think is the enemy that's coming upon you or that's coming up against you. No. Realize, understand, and acknowledge the true and living God is with you. God is with you. And so even though you may be preparing for battle, some of us may already be in a battle, and understand that while you're preparing, and even if you're in the midst of a battle, know that God is already with you. Allow God to be God. Sit back and watch God, be the victorious one that he is, and he's going to win the battle, but yet he will let you claim the victory, right? You're talking about the testimonies of the Lord, knowing that He would never lose. He's a champion, is what the Bible lets us understand about our God. He's a champion. He would never be defeated. And in him winning and or being victorious, you get to claim the victory as your own. So make sure that you don't allow yourself or find yourself moving in a different direction, opposite or contrary to what God has said you're supposed to be doing, right? So he's telling Joshua, don't you turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may. He said, in order you stay where I'm telling you to stay, walk in the manner that I'm telling you to walk. Why? He says, that thou mayest prosper whatsoever thou goest, right? According to the purpose and the destiny that I'm calling you, you know, for the glory to be revealed in your life. Don't you sway, don't you swerve, don't you get off track, don't you come out of the way of the Lord, right? If you're going to be prosperous, wherever so that thou goest, according to the purpose and the destiny of God, you got to take heed to what God is saying. You got to pay attention, right? Don't you find yourself taking a detour, right? And it becomes easy to take a detour when what God says seems to be difficult at certain points in your life. Some of us, we would try to take a detour. You know what? I'm going to take this shortcut. Well, when you take a shortcut, you come up short. You begin to miss some of the things that you should have acquired or paid attention to, or something that you should have learned along the way. But because you decided to take a shortcut, notice you are coming up short. Don't take a detour when you think things are becoming difficult, hard, or it seems to be that you don't understand. Even according to our foundational scripture says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. Understanding is going to come by your ability to have faith in what God says. Notice everything that God said is not going to immediately make sense to you. There are levels to when God speaks. Understand, when you read the Bible, there is a surface knowledge, there is a head knowledge, but then there is a deeper truth, right? We understand revelation means revealed truth. There are mysteries in the word. So there is depth to what God speaks. When God speaks, there is depth to when he speaks, right? So just because when he speaks doesn't make sense to you, don't decide to take a detour. Have faith in what God says, that God will bring understanding. God will allow me to understand the thing that he is speaking to me so that I can bring the glory about, also the glory of God can be revealed in my life as I obey to the T, to the letter, what God is saying. Amen.
Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And we have to make sure that we are consciously every single day, like bringing that declaration of the word of God out of our mouth, like the laws and the instructions that God has given us. Like I say, it's the list that is not going to change with God. Like God has already set things and he's already made declarations. He already knows what your purpose is. He already knows, you know, how the world is going to be, how life is going to be, how eternity is going to be. It's already there. And a lot of times, because we are fighting fear, we don't speak enough, you know, to ourselves. Just like I was saying, how God brings people to our life to encourage us in the word of God. Like us, you know, this Sunday morning, it is a declaration, but it's also an encouragement of the word of God, is a reminder to you who God is and who you should be and what God is speaking about your life and giving you the examples within the Bible of what is occurring and how it can be applicable in your life, so you can have an understanding of who your God is.
Amen.
So you can have an understanding how purpose works and how walking out in obedience and how the will of God works. It just doesn't just happen osmosis. Some things is not going to be the shortcut, like Pastor Lincoln said. There's no detours to this, you know, to some things. Now, some things it might not be the same way for everyone, but there is going to be a way, you know, and you're still going to have to just, you know, meet it, you know. And a lot of times we don't realize that, you know, God's word, it builds us. You know, we have to meditate on the word of God day and night. We have to seek God as God understanding, because we don't realize how much the word, not just naturally, not just emotionally, but spiritually, how the word manifests and allows things to move for us, even when we're not at that certain place, that spiritual place. What am I saying? What I'm saying is, when you are struggling with things and you don't know, you know, with your purpose and your plan, you're struggling with obedience. When you begin to pray the word of God and pray back you know, I am who God says I am. You know, I was fearfully and skillfully made, you know, before the foundation of the world was framed. Even though I, at that time, don't always understand that or don't believe that, it is the word of God going in the atmosphere in the spiritual connotation, connecting with God. God connects with his word, and it makes the atmosphere, because that's the word in 2020, my atmosphere. You know, we use all these words, you know, the universe, you know, when we are saying so many words now, we are saying, okay, these are the things that in a spiritual connotation as a Christian being, and when you speak the word of God out in your atmosphere, it causes things to change. Mm-hmm. It is a movement, it's a livelihood, it is an existence, all with God's word by itself. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. If you're not speaking God in your life, you're not speaking God in the areas of fear, if you're not speaking God to your mind, speaking God to your heart, you know, to your purpose, your promise, if you're not speaking God and allowing God to enter in those areas and cause things to shift, how do you expect to change?
Right.
You know, it is, I think about the Wizard of Oz. And what was Wizard of Oz? Come on now, the Cowardly Lion. And what did he do? He was always shaking. He didn't have a heart. And what was he doing in the movie? He was always quivering, always going running and hiding, you know, and he was called the Cowardly Lion, you know, and it's because a lot of times things will, we're not always built, you know, built tough, strong, you know, but there are things that has to be built within us because we don't always have the identification of the application of we are who God says we are. And so a lot of times, you know, we have to decree and declare the word of God, because how can we build ourselves up if we don't have a foundation? How can we bring forth protection and strength and holiness in our life with the understanding of who we are in God to be able to do these things, to be able to prosper, to be able to be successful, to be able to grow, to be able to mature, to develop, because there is no a blueprint on how to be a parent. Mm-hmm. There's no blueprint on how to be a great mom or a great father. It's no blueprint on how to be an awesome woman or an awesome man or an awesome child. It's no blueprint on how to be a career person. You know, everybody says, you know, be consistent, you know, always press towards your goal, always work hard. But I mean, that's vague. I mean, but you have to have a place and an understanding, okay, that God, I am a person that is willed and living by God. And we have to understand that, not just meditating, that we have to just take the time out to process this thing. Sometimes we get the scripture, and we get scripture early in the morning before we leave our house, you know, we get scripture in the morning just to pray. But honey, it has not saturated us. It has not centered us. It's not went all through our mind, our body, and our soul. When things happen, we don't know how to deal with it. We don't know how to deal with people. We're frustrated. We're short. We aggravated, you know, we're tired, we're overwhelmed, we're stressed out, we're crying. I mean, some of us is fighting, you know, some of us is cussing, some of us is drinking, you know, some of us is whoring, you know, because we're trying to find that fix. Because we don't know how to deal with life, but God has given us a tool on how to deal with life, and it's him. And not everybody has that tangibleness with God where they can hear God speak like Moses and God can just speak to them audibly. Some people are going to have to learn how to live by God, by faith, that God's speaking into their heart, God speaking to their mind, that God, you're speaking to my spirit, like God, you're giving me direction, because we have to know what avenue God is coming for us. And a lot of times we don't know who we are. And because we don't know how, even what is our communication with God? What is our own niche between him and myself? You have to know your own niche with God, but you have to know how to differentiate it, because you got to know his word. Right. You know, how can you know when a hustler is trying to come and trying to run game on you, not unless you know all the tricks of the trade? I'm just saying. You know, the phrase was like, you know, you can't out hustle a hustler, not trying to bring secular stuff, you know, in church service, but How can you know certain things if you're not aware of it? You know, and sometimes we as believers, we are unaware because we're just not in it. We're just not in our word. We're just not in prayer. We're just not in God. God is not on our mind. We're just not, oh, God, I get to you later on. I get to you after 10 o'clock. I'll get my scripture, you know, at 11 o'clock and send my word. You know, after all the other things I have done in my day, you know, I didn't give it to God. I didn't allow God to come and give me what I need. And a lot of times we don't realize just speaking, just encouraging yourself, speaking out loud declarations, it builds you. It builds you emotionally. It builds you spiritually because you start to develop and understand the thing that you think that you're not, that you are. Because why? Because God has given you the ability and the tool to be it, to only be, to exist. How can you know that you can withstand something if, number one, you don't try to withstand? You don't try to fight. You don't try to be courageous. You don't try to endure. You don't step up to the plate. You don't allow God to take you through the process and to stand alone. Lord have mercy. Amen. It is real. It is so real. Because then you'll learn how to prosper. You'll learn how to gain. You'll learn how to have success, because there's no way that you can go through all these things and God overlook and God not see and you not know and you not have, because you have taken the time to allow God in your day to day. You know, sometimes in my life, I have to tell God 100 times, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. And sometimes it's 102 times I say, God, I feel like I'm going to fail. But I have to make sure I say 120 times to God, I'm going to make it. I don't see how I'm going to make it. I don't understand how I'm going to make it. I don't see my beginning from my end. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But God, I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to overcome my fear. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep being. I'm going to keep existing. I'm going to be who God has called me to be. I'm going to say what God called me to say. I'm going to do what God called me to do. You got to put it on repeat, not on the CD, not on the telephone, not on the laptop, out your mouth. You got to say, God, I am holy. I am saved. I live for you. I'll die for you. I will obey you. I am prosperous. I am more than a conqueror. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to conquer. I'm going to succeed, God. I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to embarrass myself. I'm not going to embarrass God. You have to say it out your mouth until the manifestation of the word meets in on the inside of you, because the word is all good by itself. The word is blessed all by itself. If God said, let there be light, and there is light, he doesn't need recognition. He doesn't need a support system. We do, because we are living in this flesh. You know, we are learning how to live for God. We're learning how to obey God. We're learning how to accept the things that God is saying about our life. And it's not all the things. We don't know everything about ourselves. We don't know everything about our life. We don't know everything that God has called us to. We do not know. Just like you can go out, God forbid, and get into the car and die today. You don't know that you're going to get in the car and die in a car. You don't know, but your life should not be predicated on the thing that you don't know. You should allow God to feed you and God to give you the direction and God to give you the substance to center you, to allow you to know where you're going. So many of us don't know where we're going. We don't know who we are. You know, we don't know, you know, people say the midlife crisis, you know, and say for women, you know, we learn to develop who we are as women. You know, we start to accept ourselves the older we become, you know, but those things are true in a worldly sense. But in a Christian sense, you know, we have to develop who we are, you know, according to spend the time with God. We don't spend time with God. How can we allow God to give us the affirmation? How can we allow God to be on the inside of us and live and dwell, so we can walk these things out, so we can see the things that God is calling us to be? You know, God can say, you're a woman of God, you're a woman of God. But if you don't try to go to church, you don't try to pray, you don't try to be around other believers, you don't try to be accountable, how can you go from, you know, being in the streets, you know, to being in the church with no effort, with no application, you know, with no level of exposure, no level of servitude, no level of humility? You know, we fight being humble in the church. You know, we cannot be disrespectful to one another. We cannot, you know, talk down, take out our day upon one another, you know, be difficult when I call you, you don't answer the phone. What is the point of that? You know, you don't want to be accountable. You don't want to be, you know, present. You don't want to be seen. You always want to be in the background looking at someone else, you know. But when God calls you to the front, when God calls you to be prosperous, you have to be in a place where you are solidified and grounded in God. Because when God gives you things, what you going to do with it? How you going to know how to keep it? How you going to learn how to really, really enjoy without being distrusting and not trusting the people that God has you around or the people that come around you because you get a certain level of success? Because just like, you know, in all things, there's a drawing to our lives. Amen. It can be a good drawing and it can be a bad drawing. But, you know, we as believers, you know, and I believe everyone that's on the call today, on the Zoom call, that we are really all in process of trying to be who we are better, you know, trying to have a true life application of God in our lives, not in a religious stance or not just in an appearance of not just in what we say, but what in what we do and how we live. You know, we really want God to live in us, and we don't know that there are things that God is going to call us to that we're not going to like. No. But we have to be understanding and mature enough in God to understand when the things in call life, when God brings us to places, we don't stop. We don't rescind. We don't walk away. We don't give up because things become difficult. God wants us to be able to observe it, and some things will take work. Everything is not going to be given to you. Everything is not going to be easy. Everything is not going to just fall into your lap. And, you know, it's not always going to happen in everything. Just like everything in life is not going to be hard. Everything in life is not going to be difficult. It's not going to be, you know, redundant or tedious or challenging. You know, those things are not always going to occur. But you have to be able to see it according to what God is saying, not according to how you feel, not according to how you think, not according to what you believe. It is what God is saying, what God is, what God has already declared, what God has listed upon your life. And we as believers have to understand it, because it says, for then thou make you prosperous. Mm-hmm. We have to know the law. We have to be able to speak it out of our mouths. We have to understand that each and every day, day and night, we got to meditate on God. And then we have to be at a place where we're able to see all the things that God is saying. Then God said he's going to prosper you. And so a lot of us, we feel like, okay, God, I'm in this rut. You know, I'm not prospering. I'm not gaining. I'm not growing. You know, I'm not obtaining certain level of things. But we have to check, you know, our lack of meditation, our lack of intimacy with God, our lack of prayer, our lack of, you know, being observant. You know, we have to say, okay, you know, it shouldn't be a begrudging getting up on a Sunday morning to log in on Zoom. It shouldn't be a begrudging to be a part, you know, of family prayer. It shouldn't be a begrudging, you know, to pray before for service start. It shouldn't be a begrudging to be a part of dance ministry or praise and worship. It shouldn't be a begrudging youth to be a part of 180. It should be something that you should willingly want to be a part of. Because it's every avenue is showing you as a child, how do I live saved and be a teenager? How do I understand how to pray as a teenager? How do I be around other believers that are teenagers that are trying to live for God? And, you know, my mother's a pastor or your father's a pastor. And how, as a child, how do I live like this? A lot of times it's not just for the adults, it's for the children. Sorry. The children are out of place. They're out of order. You're disrespectful. You don't have no prayer life. You don't even try to pray. You give your Bible. You don't even open doggone Bible up. But you got all kind of 2 and 10s that you want to tell about me. You're not grown. You're not been where I've been. You ain't walk what I walk. And what you got is because what we've been through. Praise God. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave it alone. Y'all need to repent, kids. You only been on like 12 years, 14 years, 16 years, and you think you know everything. You think you 16, but you can tell me what I'm not. That's a lie. That's a doggone lie. I'm gonna leave it alone.
E-D-D-I-E.
I felt that shit. Mm. But y'all better get God for real, kids. It's not just your mama and your daddy want Jesus. You better want Jesus too. Because what you got, Jesus gave it.
Kick him in the skin.
Praise God. And the fact that you're breathing. God allowed it. I'm going to leave it alone. But I felt that in my spirit. And I prayed that my kids heard it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Even as the woman of God was talking about being able to prosper, having your way to prosper, it is going to come back to your ability to meditate on the word, to hear the word of God and walk out the word of God. Amen. So even as the scripture talks about in verse number 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That is the key thing. Not allowing the law or the instruction or the word of God to depart out of your mouth. And one thing I can appreciate about Joshua, as the Bible told us in verse number 1, he was Moses' minister. He was a servant, an adjutant, an armor bearer unto Moses, right? There were some principles that you learn while being a servant, while being an understudy to your leader, right? I want to show you something in scripture, right? When you go to the book of Exodus, chapter number 17, verse number 14, and mind you, we pointed out that Joshua was a warrior, right? The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out, right? He said, I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, right? So at this particular time, Joshua is engaged in battle with the Amalekites, right? And in this, the Lord is telling Moses to record what is taking place and begin to write this as a memorial in a book so that he's able to rehearse it in the ears, right? And so as a believer, as a servant, as an understudy to Moses, Moses is speaking into the ears. He's rehearsing what he has actually transcribed, what God told him to write about the life of Joshua in this particular moment. So it's going to become a memorial in a book, something that is going to be rehearsed in his ears, right? So he's teaching him how to hear the word of God, or he's teaching him how to hang on to the word. Regardless of what now comes into his life, I have taught you a principle on how to hang on to the word. And he got this by being a servant, by being close, right? His proximity to the man of God, where God was speaking to the life of Moses to tell him what to speak to the servant, right? His proximity to Moses. Look what comes about his proximity, him being a servant. He's causing the leader of the nation of Israel now to speak directly into his ears, right? So tell him, I'm going to utterly destroy them from underneath heaven till you won't even remember them anymore. He's teaching him how to hang on to the word. And as he's rehearsing something, he's repeating the word of God over and over into the ears of Joshua. He's constantly repeating this thing to the point that what he's constantly hearing, it now comes to a place where when you think about meditating upon the word, in the Hebrew perspective, to meditate means you're mulling upon something, right? It doesn't mean to just think deeply about something. It's thinking deeply on something, but speaking about the thing that you're deeply thinking about at the same time. So as he's being trained on how to meditate on scripture, because the leader Moses is rehearsing something in his ears, he's constantly repeating it in his ears. He now has the concept of being able to hang on to the word of God. So now at this rehearsing, I can now make application in my own life. When I meditate on the word, when we go back to over to Joshua, it says, okay, this book of the law, this word, this instruction shall not depart out of your mouth. Now he's learned this principle from Moses, how to hang on to the word. So now as he begins to meditate day and night, notice what the scripture said. He's meditating day and night. He's speaking the word day and night. You said it earlier, Minister Christina. Yeah, the word is on repeat, not just in his mind, but it's on repeat in his mouth. So the thing that I've been hearing, I have now come accustomed to hearing, rehearsing the word of God, speaking the word of God out loud, out of my mouth day and night, right? I'm meditating upon this thing. I'm thinking upon this thing, but I'm speaking it out of my mouth. I'm speaking life to it. I'm giving life to the word as I speak it and release it from my mouth. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And that's where most of us fall short. We forget to meditate upon the word day and night. Some of us, we meditate in the morning time because you a morning person. But if you're like me, you a night owl, right? Listen, I meditate day and night because because I understand the principle that I learned from my leader who taught me, you know what I'm saying, the understandings of meditating and the benefits of meditating upon the scripture throughout the day. It gives me understanding of what God is trying to speak and declare to me through the scripture that I meditated upon. Not only that, the scripture that I meditated upon, it is speaking to something that I may directly be dealing with, something where the enemy is trying to pull me in my flesh, pull me to sin, or the enemy is trying to get me the fall back. So I'm dealing with a scripture. I'm meditating upon the scripture that is going to strengthen me in an area where the enemy believes that I'm weak, where the enemy believes that I'm susceptible to falling to his tactics, right? Or the distractions that he brings my way. So listen, there was a principle that Joshua learned early on as his leader Moses taught him how to hang on to the word through meditation, hearing it, putting it on repeat in your mind, putting it on repeat in your ears, and then putting it on repeat in your mouth. This is how you're going to have success. This is how you're going to prosper, because you never lose sight of the word, because you're constantly thinking about it. But not only are you constantly thinking about it, you're constantly hearing it. And not only are you constantly hearing it, but you're constantly speaking the word, giving life to the word, right? And you're doing this day and night. And see, most of us, if you really being real, you struggle in the nighttime. This is where things begin to crank up on a whole nother level. It's in the nighttime. Think about fear, right? When the enemy will try to attack you in the realm of dreams, right? He'll turn your dream, something that's supposed to be good, a means where God speaks to you, he'll try to turn that thing into a nightmare, right? By bringing or utilizing fear. But listen, God, you got to understand, God is trying to teach you how to hang on to the word, not just in the daylight hours, but even in the nighttime. Speak the word at night. David talked about this, and while I lay on my bed at night, I'm going to declare the word of God. I'm going to praise God at night while I'm upon my bed trying to prepare myself for sleep. I'm going to let the word of the Lord and the praises of God dwell in my mouth. See, they've been giving us principles on how to seize your day and how to be successful in your day. He said, you got to meditate on that word day and night. He says, that thou mayest quarter, right? That thou mayest quarter, prosper, whether so thou so goest. Lord, the enemy's trying to mess with my stuff over here. You got to understand. You have got to listen, meditate on this thing that I may observe to do according to all that is written. Where you got to take heed or pay attention to what is written. Right? Speak what is written. A lot of times we were trying to paraphrase things that, and that, and you wonder why some of the word is not working, because that paraphrase is not going to get it. No, you got to go to the word. And some days you got to walk around with your Bible open, speaking that word out loud in your environment. And this is how your atmosphere becomes conducive for the Holy Spirit to abide, to rest, and to rule in, right? God is going to connect with spirit, the spirit of the word. He's going to connect with this word. He's not going to separate himself from his word. So one thing that I do, I fill my atmosphere with the word. Not only does the word play 24/7, but I'm speaking and declaring the word out of my own mouth, because I'm trying to get an atmosphere conducive inside this body, inside this temple, because as the Lord dwells in here, I want the Lord to be comfortable. I want it to be something that he can relate to, and that is this word. So I'm speaking the word, and as I speak the word, I'm thinking and meditating on the word, and I'm hearing the word, and I wanted to charge the atmosphere in here. I wanted to bring an atmosphere to a place of conduciveness that God can to dwell in this place comfortable, because he's surrounded by the word of God. So he says, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, that's only then, when you pay attention and take heed, when you observe, right, paying attention to what was spoken through the instructions or through the word of God, and do it how God says to do it. He says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. The way that God has called you to go. And this is my thing. I say, David said, teach me your ways, Lord. And so understand, God has ways. Amongst the way that God has called you, God has ways for you to be successful in the way that he has called you. But most of us would not allow God the opportunity to teach us his ways to be successful in the way he has called you to come. Me, I say, God, I don't know nothing. I have to approach it that way. You know what? You can think you know a little bit about this word. You can think you know a little bit about God. And before you know it, your head is all puffed up and all these different things, right? But God has a way of bringing you all the way down. I don't need God to bring me down. I bring myself down. God, I don't know a thing, God. I don't know where you want me to be in scripture, God. Until you speak it, God, I won't know. I won't know what you're trying to say until you speak, God. I'm not going to try to conjure up what God is saying. I'm not going to try to make up something that God is saying. If he doesn't speak, I don't have anything to say. So what I'm understanding, God, teach me your ways, God. Teach me how to hear, God. Teach me how to meditate on the script. Teach me how to hang on to the word. Teach me how to believe your word. Teach me how to walk by faith and not by sight. God, teach me your ways, God. Teach me how to honor you, God. Teach me how to trust you when I can't track you, God. Teach me how to stand on your word, God, to let your word be a firm foundation, to let it be a rock. Teach me your ways, God. I'm so accustomed to falling, God. I'm so accustomed, God, to falling prey to this flesh, God. You got to teach me how to be still and know that you are God. You got to teach me how to stand, God. I need you to teach me your ways, God. Teach me how to be successful. You're telling Joshua to have good success. If I'm going to have good success, God, teach me how to handle good success when it comes, God, because there are some of us, we don't know how to handle success well, God. You got to teach me how to handle it, God. Teach me how to be successful. Teach me how to handle the good success, God. Teach me how to receive encouragement. Teach me how to receive a correction, God. Teach me, God, how to receive and embrace your word, God. Your promises, God. Your purpose, God. The destiny, God, that you place on me. God, teach me how, God, to yield to what you're saying, God. Teach me how, God, to trust what you said, God. If my way is going to be prosperous, at my the prosperity cannot be separate from the word. Prosperity is connected to the word of God. If you're going to indulge or have the prosperity or the prosperous way, it is connected to the word of God. And most of us want to be prosperous without the word of God. Oh, you're making a mistake right there. So I'm telling you to pull it all the way back in. You cannot be prosperous without the word of God. If you're going to be prosperous, it is going to be because of the word of God. You got to love his word. I said, God, give me a love for your word. Teach me how to love your word all over again, God. I want to fall in love with your word all over again, God. Teach me how to love you all over again, God. I want to fall in love with you all over again, God. I'm going back to the basics, God. Teach me how to pray, God. I'm getting like the disciples teach us how to pray, God. And I'm going and I'm digging into what they call the Lord's Prayer, which is really an illustration of him teaching us how to pray. And I find myself to him that is upon the throne. I'm crying out to him. Our Father, my Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. I'm going back to the basis so that I can fall in love with God all over again, fall in love with prayer all over again, fall in studying the word, fall in love with it all over again. I want to be prosperous in what I do. In other words, I want to be effective in what I do. That is the prayer of my God. Let me be effective. While others are out here trying to build platforms and build names, God, I want to be effective. When I declare your word, when I speak what you're telling me, let it be effective, God. When I'm ministering, God, let it be effective, God. I don't want to be doing this, God, and to be doing it in vain, God. Except you build the house, God, it is built in vain, God. God, you have got to build every house as we try to build each life or one life at a time, God. You have got to do the building, God. We want to be effective in what we do. Effective prayer, God. Effective evangelism, God. Effective prophesying, God. Effective deliverance, God. Effective healing on those that have broken hearts. Effective teaching people sound economic principles, God. Effective equipping them for the work of the ministry, God. God, let us be effective in all that we do. Effective when we love on one another, but God, it said this is how they're going to know that we're believers or Christians, how we love on one another inside the body. Let us be effective, God, with loving on one another, God, to know that this is real. This ain't no play. This is nothing made up, but this is real. I love you for real. If we're going to be prosperous, it cannot be separate from the word. He says, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What kind of success? Good success. See, I'm ready for the good success. I'm ready for the good success. Go ahead and describe my success, God. Good success. I want the success that God has sent. I'm supposed to have the good success, right? When it comes to the marriage, good success. When it comes to raising the children, good success. When it comes to walking out ministry, good success. When it comes to the business, good success. When it comes to penning these books, good success. When it comes to the music, good success. When it comes to ministry, good success. I want the success God is saying we're supposed to have as a man of God, as women of God, as people of God, as a ministry of God. Good success. We want what God says we're supposed to have. And if God has said I'm supposed to have it, then I don't want it. I want what God is telling me I'm supposed to have because I take heed. I observe his instruction. I observe his word. So based upon what is going to come out of this, God, that's what I want, God. Because I understand if I do what God is saying, if I take heed, pay attention to what God is saying, and to follow it to the T, I do understand. Yes, God would allow me to have good success, but there will also be the glory of the Lord that is on display. Because our way has just become prosperous because we follow the word. So I'm encouraging you, only be, come on, you got to only be strong and courageous. You got to only be who God has said you're supposed to be. Too many of us are trying to still figure out who you are. You can only come into that knowledge when you come into the knowledge of God. And once you come into the knowledge of God, God brings you into the knowledge of who you are and what your purpose is, the purpose that he's placed down on the inside of you. Only be who God has said you're supposed to be. Only be the woman of good success, the success that comes from God. Only be effective and what God has placed you in inside the different spheres of the world. Because clearly we see if Joshua was not ready to ascend to this place of leadership, the world for the nation of Israel will fall apart. But thanks be unto God that God is holding everything together by his word. Even though my servant Moses is dead, listen, and you ain't got time to have a funeral for him, you got to just rise up and come on and move. Only be observant of the word of God. And watch God be God when you just only be strong and courageous. Move and operate in the good success of God. So we pray that this word has encouraged you on this morning. We thank you for the opportunity for allowing us to bring forth the word.